This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hello, Melbourne, you sexy thing. That was the beautiful girls from Dystopical. Welcome to the first official show of Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. I'm Kylan, and with me is my beautiful co-host back from Vietnam, Amy Basto.
Well, hello.
Hello, beautiful. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you, darling?
I'm good. Are you excited?
Oh, I couldn't be more excited.
Oh, good.
Look, it's 9 o'clock on a Monday. Mondayitis is over. We're kicking back, filling up our glass and relaxing on this beautiful, balmy Monday evening. As always, guys and girls, shake off your Mondayitis and stay tuned to hear about film reviews, albums of the week, and amazing events throughout the next little bit. But up next, we are going to see... What are we going to see?
We're going to see how your trip went.
Oh, no way.
Yes, we are. So stay tuned, guys. All the best bits coming up on here. Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. And away
we go!
That was the ever-present Rihanna, and isn't she just everywhere at the moment? Featuring Calvin Harris with We Found Love here on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Kiss My Arts with Kylan and Amy. As a reminder, my pretties, Kiss My Arts is a review show in which Amy and I will critique the latest in music, films, and events coming up. If you think there is something we should check out, please contact us right now. We're going to grill her, we're gonna grill you. Yes, we are. We are going to find out all about the lovely Amy and her latest adventure to Vietnam.
Oh, this sounds scary.
The Nam.
What's doing in the Nam?
All right, girl, give it up.
All right, what do you want to know? Look, it was amazing. Absolutely incredible. I haven't unpacked my bags yet, so it's literally I've just arrived.
Wait. When did you get back?
I got back a couple of days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just slack at unpacking bags, basically. Got back a couple of days ago from Vietnam and still getting over the jet lag, but it's all good. I'm here.
What were you doing? I heard you flew business class.
I did indeed. Mm-hmm. And that was my first business class experience. And I have to say, once you've flown business class, you can't go back to cattle class.
Really? No. What makes it so different? Like, obviously, from that comment, you already know that I've never been in business class. I have walked past it. Didn't see any celebrities.
You walked past it?
Yeah, of course. Because I like to be with the majority. Nah, I don't know.
Nah.
I just can't really afford it.
It's pretty amazing. You're on the plane and you've got 9 hours in front of you and you're thinking, okay, look, there's in-house entertainment. I'll be fine. But in business class, before you've even sit in your seat, they're bringing around free glasses of bubbly, they're bringing around endless supply of food, you've got blankets, socks, the works toothbrush, you've got everything you could possibly want for your trip and for the rest of your life, basically right there in business class.
All right, so let's wrap this up because I know it sounds like you had a really good time on the plane. So let's get to the main thing.
No, that was the main thing.
Oh, really? You got to Vietnam and he's like, I want to go back to business class.
Pretty much. No. Okay, Vietnam was absolutely amazing. It's a country that is still quite untouched. It's still quite, well, let's put it this way. There's not a whole lot of tourists. It's still very much earthy would be
okay.
A good way
Can
to
I
describe
ask,
it.
Where did you go to in Vietnam?
We started in the north, in the capital city of Hanoi, and worked our way down south. And on the map, Vietnam looks like a reasonably small place. You think, oh, I'll just hop from one city to the next. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But no. You start in the capital city.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, look, I'll just jump down to the next town. Oh, yeah, it's 17 hours away on a bus.
Oh, wow.
It's a really big city, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, basically, underestimated the length of the country, but did eventually get used to the overnight trains and the sleeper buses and all that kind of thing.
So, did you go out much while you were over there?
Did. Yep. I did.
What did you see?
I saw some pretty amazing things. I saw lots of rats.
Oh, okay.
They're quite hot stuff over there.
Right. As in just running around, not in actually...
Oh, look, running around, you know, in your cocktails, playing live music. They were everywhere. Now, you know, speaking of rats, I did go to this amazing venue.
Okay.
Speaking of music, we are an arts review show. We probably should throw some music in there at some point. Yeah. There was this amazing little bar that we found in the capital city, Hanoi.
Sure.
They had a little piano set up. And me, obviously, seeing a piano was like, look, I have to play this thing. I don't care if I'm in a foreign country. I'm going to go and play this piano. So they let me. I went in there I said, look, I kind of tinker a little bit. Can I have a play on your piano? They said, sure, help yourself. So I sat down and had a little play. And the guy said, look, if you stay around for an hour, we have a band coming to play. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. So I did. And I hung out with the rats for an hour and had a...
It's You're not really making thing. Vietnam a very no, look, like idyllic place to go.
It's pretty amazing. The band was playing and you do, out the corner of your eye, every couple of minutes you see something move and nobody cares. It's just part of the amazing untouched atmosphere.
And the people, very nice.
They're beautiful. And the weather? Absolutely beautiful. The weather was good. Actually, it was a really great time of year to travel.
So was it humid? Was it sticky? Was it dry? Could you take more than just everything, you know, everything
it's,
off?
It's a bit like Melbourne, actually.
Oh,
you start in the north in the dry season. It was a little bit more chilly.
Yep.
You work your way down to central Vietnam. It was their wet season, so a bit of rain. And then down south, a bit hot.
So would you go again?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Only if you come with me.
Oh, I don't know. Just if we do, we have to go to certain places and do certain things.
Well, this sounds a bit dangerous.
And
maybe.
On that note,
maybe I'll leave you behind.
Yes, yes. Well, we are so happy to have you back, Amy. And
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And so excited to hear what you have to say about all the efforts that music will deliver to us this year. Speaking of which, I hear you're going to tell us about three albums that made you do a double take last year.
That is correct. I am. I'm going to talk about three of my most favourite albums this year, which are probably, I'd say, three of most people's favourite albums. They are number one, Adele, of course, the lovely Adele, her album 21. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number two, we've got the Jezebels, their debut album Prisoner.
Cool.
And at number three, I'm going to be talking about Beirut's album, The Riptide. So, yeah, stay tuned to hear more about those three albums later in the show. In the meantime, though, we'd love to hear what you think is going to be hot stuff in 2012. Film-wise, music-wise, do it. Text us. We'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, so stay tuned, guys, for that next on Amy's Deciphering Moments. You're listening to Amy and Kylan on Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. This is Kiss My Arts, and you're listening to Amy and Kylan on Joy 94.9. That was the Jezebels, the amazing Jezebels, with Endless Summer. Right now, Amy is going to take us through some of her favourite albums for 2011.
That I am indeed. Before I get into my favourite albums of 2011, I'd just like to say a big thank you to Andy, who has sent through a text saying, hi Amy, congratulations on getting Kiss My Arts on Joy. Thanks a lot for your text, Andy. Okay, so 2011, oh my God. God, where did it go? I can't believe I'm reviewing my top three albums of 2011 already. 2011, I feel like music made a bit of a comeback in 2011. Real music, I mean. Music with meaning, soul. A little out of tune here and there, but that's what we're looking for now, I think. Music that is real. And my top three albums, I feel, are testament to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, Kylan,
yep.
My number one album of the year is, drum roll please, Adele 21.
Of course. She's amazing.
Look, isn't she hot stuff at the moment?
Oh, look, I think there would be a lot of people out there who would just die to have her voice. Like, honestly, she is amazing.
She is absolutely amazing.
She's gorgeous as well.
She is. Yeah, she is. But she's kind of, I feel like maybe a new wave of, you know, the sort of singer, songwriter, piano playing type. Because she's not exactly picture perfect. Nothing against her. But, you know, she's I think she's real. She's a real lady.
Yeah, yeah, I will totally agree with you on that. I think the one thing I like about Adele the most is that when people listen to her, they actually go down to buy her CD. They don't just download it off iTunes or something like that. You know, they actually go down to the store because they want it in hand. So in a way, she's actually putting economics back into the country as well.
Yeah.
That was such a wanky thing to say, but I mean, if you can understand my drift, so tell us about the album.
Yeah, absolutely. And like just on that track, Kylan, I think that Adele, as my darling mother pointed out, who is, I hope, listening right now. Hi, Mom. She pointed
out. Token.
she pointed out to me the fact that Adele not only appeals to your typical kind of teenage demographic age group, but she also has this amazing ability to appeal across all of the ages. And I think that mum's just as likely to go down to the store and buy Adele's 21 album as a 15-year-old is. And I think that is a pretty amazing thing for an artist to be able to do.
Any standout tracks for you?
Two in particular. I think I'm probably speaking on behalf of the majority of the country right now.
Rightio, okay.
Obviously, big call, but obviously a song called Someone Like You is obviously an extremely simple song. It's just voice and piano.
Yep.
And to be able to, I remember listening to it one morning in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It was played on Joy. And I just stopped dead in my tracks. The toast burnt, you know, the kettle was boiling, and I just had tingles. I had goosebumps on my arms just listening to that song.
Yeah.
Absolute testament to her amazing talents and her, I think, her raw kind of passion and her, just like what I was saying before, that real quality about her.
Yeah.
Obviously, this album was post-breakup, mm-hmm. so there's a lot of rawness, a lot of anger, even revenge and heartbreak that comes through the album.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And you can really, really hear that, particularly in that song. The other one I like is Set Fire to the Rain, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I know that song. Yes.
Oh, look, I sing that one in the kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
I do the little shake of the hips and pretend that I'm a famous
Adele wannabe?
Yeah, maybe. So that's Adele. Look, there's so much to say about Adele. Look, we'll leave it there for a second, but if anyone would like to
send us
a text.
Yeah, if you want to send us your thoughts on Adele's album 21, then sure, send us a text.
Before we move on to the next album,
yep.
I believe, Kylan, we have a little system in place to review.
Yes.
Our songs and our films and our events. Yep. Would you like to explain to our lovely listeners what that is?
Yeah, sure. Well, as mentioned last week in the interview that I did with you, we have a system in which we rate the songs or the albums or the films that we review. If we like it, they get a kiss, and then they get a kiss out of five. If we don't like it, if we think it deserves to be in a certain place, i.e. the trash bin, we get kicked there, so we give it a kick, and then we give it a kick out of five.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
and what if it's neither good, neither bad, it's neutral? Can we give it a peck or something?
Oh,
we can
give it a slap if you
want. Give it a slap?
Yeah.
So, all right, thanks for that. So we'll be using that system of reviewing in our show. So please do send us a text if you would like to comment on Adele's album 21. All right, next up, my second favourite album of the year, and you've already heard a snippet of that here on the show in our last track, The Jezebels. Like, are they the ultimate example of sticking it to the record label or what?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, look, the Jezebels basically have, I think, redefined music making in the modern world. They are the ultimate independent group. So their latest long-awaited debut album, Prisoner, comes after three very, very successful EPs.
Yep. Oh, okay.
So they've kept us on tender hooks for 3 years with just releasing these EPs, and finally we have the album, and it's a killer. But it is all self-produced.
Oh, nice.
There's no label. They're doing it all on their own back.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that awesome?
Sticking it to the man.
Sticking it to the man.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, what about the standout tracks there?
You know what? I think the Jezebels are the kind of band where I hear a track and I think, you know what? That's my next favorite track, and then I'll hear the next one. I'm like, oh, no, that's it. That's my next favorite track.
So it just progressively gets better.
It just progressively gets better and better and better. They are, I think they're the next big thing.
Oh, let's hope.
That's my prediction.
Well, I'll say this before you get stuck into the next album. That was the, I just recently heard Endless Summer a couple of weeks ago, and I absolutely loved it. So if that is any, if that song there is any indication for what's left on the album, I think I might just go out and buy that.
Absolutely. They're very addictive. They're like coffee. Once you have a sip, that's it. You are absolutely addicted to them.
Coffee for you, hot chocolate for me.
Hot chocolate. Yeah. Don't you drink coffee?
Soy hot chocolate.
Oh my goodness, you're such a Melbourneite.
So what's the last album you have then? My friend.
Well, the last album is Riptide by Beirut, an American band.
Yep.
Yeah, basically it's a very subtle album.
Uh-huh.
It's makes use of a lot of brass instruments, which I find quite interesting coming from a classical background, the way they sort of seamlessly incorporate that into more of a how would you describe like jazzy kind of folky indie kind of style? It's very interesting mix. The lead singer Zach Condon actually played trumpet back in his earlier days and has done a lot of traveling to Europe and is influenced by world music a lot, and you can hear those influences coming through there. It's an album that you must listen to. You can put it on in the background and it's kind of
nice,
but you can also intelligently listen to it, and it's got many faces. So I would give that one.
I was just about to ask, actually.
Yeah. Would I kiss it or would I kick it?
Well, I think we pretty much know that, you'll be kissing
it. It's my top three.
Yeah.
I'd give that one a four.
Okay, four kisses.
Four kisses.
Right up there with a pesh, all right?
Right up there. And I would give the Jezebels a five. And Adele... Oh, look,
that's some slurpy action going on with the Jezebels.
Six out of five
for Adele.
Look,
that's like going all the way to second base.
She's pretty amazing. So there are my top three albums for 2011.
Well, they are great choices, my pretty friend.
Thank you.
As always, guys, if there is an album that you think Amy should check out, please contact us.
Now, I've told you what my hot three albums for 2011 are, but obviously we're in the new year, so we'd like to get fresh on Kiss My Arts, and we'd like to get straight into what's hot in 2012. So please send us your text on who you think is going to be hot stuff in the music or film world. Coming up next, Kylan will be reviewing Spielberg's Tintin and The Iron Lady, and also discussing the nominations for the Critics' Choice Award and the Golden Globes. So keep perky and stay tuned. Fill up your glass, kick back, relax, and stay tuned. Welcome back to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. That was London electronic band Nero with Promises. And right now, Kylan is going to discuss the latest and greatest film reviews this week. Take it away, my friend.
Cheers, Ames.
No wackers.
Okay, guys, so my first film review for this week is The Adventures of Tintin. First off, before we get into the trailer, here's the specs. Yo, 107 minutes, the rating is PG. The director, obviously, is Steven Spielberg. Producer, Peter Jackson, Steven Spielberg again, and Kathleen Kennedy. Distributor is going to be Paramount Pictures Australia. And we've got some famous actors in there. The wonderful Jamie Bell, Andy Serkis playing Haddock. Daniel Craig is in there playing the evil Saccharin. And Simon Pegg and Nick Frost playing Thompson and Thompson. Can I get a whoop whoop?
Whoop whoop. That was pretty epic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I tell you what, it is a great film, straight off the bat.
It sounds like a great film just from the trailer.
First off, I have to lay down a proud confession. I am a Tintin fan. I own all the DVDs of the animated series and have always been a good old flirt when it comes to redheads. In addition, I love adaptations of cartoons like X-Men, Thor, and Iron Man, to name a few. However, when I went to watch the film, I was very reluctant to see if it would stand up against my Tintin snobbery. In truth, I was expecting to be let down, just like I was when I watched Transformers on the big screen. And I am a big Transformers fan. My brother can contest to that. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong, though. This film is so much fun, and the motion capture that Spielberg incorporates is visually effective and amazing. Spielberg and Jackson honor Tintin creator Urge in the opening credits by playing homage to his original comics. You truly are a fan if you can spot the scenes where they appear, especially when this occurs in the first scene with the portrait artist. I didn't know this was going to happen, but behind the artist in the first scene, there are several other portraits which depict numerous characters in the Tintin series. I loved this moment because it made me grin from ear to ear, and I know fans out there would be pleased with this little Tintinism. Spielberg has in the past relied primarily on his special effects to carry the movie. What this does is make the plot weak and in the end lets the movie down. You know, everyone likes new special effects, but after a while we all get desensitized and ultimately bored. Just think of Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, and Minority Report. Thankfully, he does not do that with this film. And with the help of some awesome and very true to the character performances, especially from Andy Serkis as Captain Haddock and Jamie Bell, another redhead, as the titled hero, Spielberg and Jackson have hit this film for a home run in my books. And as a side note, see if you can spot the two characters that resemble Jackson and Spielberg. Was this done on purpose? Who knows? Those that may not know about the Tintin comics might find it a bit fast-paced in some parts and unsure of how A got to be in the plot. But just so you know, that the comics were quite like that, and that's why I enjoyed this film a lot. It's full of eye-popping action and drama and definitely one to see on the big screen. Totally entertaining. Overall, 4 out of 5 kisses.
4 out of 5?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Playing now at selected cinemas.
Ooh. All right. Only 4 though.
Yes. All right, I'll better get into the second review. All right. This is The Iron Lady. 105 minutes. The rating is PG-13. Director Phyllida Deloyd. Screenplay by Abby Morgan. And it's an amazing screenplay. The distributor is Icon Film Distribution. Actors Meryl Streep as Thatcher, Jim Broadbent as Dennis Thatcher, and Olivia Colman as Carol Thatcher. Yeah, guys, so that was the trailer for The Iron Lady. For anyone who has heard about this film would have heard about the performance that Meryl Streep delivers. After watching it, I walked away thinking, oh, Streep could possibly be the greatest actress to ever grace the screen. I swear to God. She is completely outstanding and surrenders an impersonation that might match the tenacity and fragility that rivals Mrs. Thatcher herself. And I know that there's a lot of controversy out there about how she didn't, you know, there's a lot of things missed out that she didn't actually portray the harrowing Thatcher that she was, but the film is amazing. Some movies have totally rested upon an actor and their performance. Think of Al Pacino in Serpico, Peter O'Toole in Lawrence of Arabia, Forest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland, and even Charlize Theron in Monster. Director Phyllida Deloyd directs a great cast supported with an outstanding screenplay from Abby Morgan. I really hope Morgan receives an Oscar nod for this because the use of language is truly remarkable. It wouldn't have been an easy task to research in great detail the events of Thatcher's reign in the office, but Morgan captures the Iron Lady who plays ruler, mother, lover, and child as an honestly harsh and yet caring woman. Broadbent also gives a notable performance, and Olivia Colman, who plays the daughter, Carol Thatcher, really stood out for me as well. In the end, the director's talent guides Streep into an incredibly believable performance of one of the greatest women in the 20th century. Overall, 4 out of 5 kisses.
Woohoo!
Playing now at selected cinemas.
Oh, thank you so much. That sounds absolutely
I highly recommend. Yeah. I highly recommend going to see those films. Look, guys, coming out this week in film, we've got a lot. They're coming out on the 12th. Arrietty, from Studio Ghibli. Martin Scorsese's Hugo. George Clooney in The Descendants. The American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And one of my childhood faves, The Muppets. Quite a lot there, and enough for both family and yourself.
Oh, wow. Sounds like an amazingly big week. Up next, find out what is coming up this week in events and also what Kylan and I are going to see. Stay tuned.
That was Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks. You're listening to Amy and Kylan on Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9. Now we're going to talk about one of the major events coming up on Sunday the 15th. Of course, it is none other than the amazing start to Midsummer.
It will be the official kickoff, and what better way to do it than with the traditional carnival taking place in... Now, earlier, Kylan had a go at me for mispronouncing this, as I'm a newbie to Melbourne.
Give it a go.
Birrarungma. Did I say that good?
Yeah, that's actually good.
Awesome.
That was really good. Yeah, totally.
So it's taking place in Birrarungma. from 11 a.m.
Yep. Yep.
It's a free event that closes around 6 p.m. So don't worry. You got 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. and will incorporate a lot of gay, lesbian, queer, transgender, bisexual, and intersex stalls.
Yeah, I think you got all of them.
Got all of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, awesome.
Basically, it's the place you want to be, guys. And with a weather outlook of, get ready for this, 29, it will be a great day to come down, see the sights, the people, some hearties, the music, and of course, take part in fun activities.
And of course, Joy 94.9 will be broadcasting down at the event, so don't forget you can listen in live. There will also be an app named Midsummer 12 that you can download for your iPhone, which gives you all the information that happens over the 3 weeks of entertainment that we call Midsummer.
Indeed. Head along to midsummer.org.au for all information. The other event, of course, that is taking place later on that afternoon is the infamous Midsummer Tea Dance. In 2011, the event sold out, so be sure to get your tickets ASAP, guys and girls. I didn't head along to the dance itself last year, but was there to see the sunset on what I can only assume was a great time.
This year, the Divine Knights will be headlining the dance.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
Exciting stuff, actually.
If you're not too sure of this group, you could do a general YouTube search, which may help you out. Good old YouTube.
Yes.
Solves everything. What's your name? Oh, yeah, that's right, Kylan. Thanks, YouTube. For now, just know that they are Sydney folk who sport a rather unique costume attire and play some sort of Depeche Mode-inspired synth pop. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Something to look forward to there.
It's really upbeat, real. Like, if you know your Depeche Mode, you know what kind of groove you're going to get into.
A pretty awesome groovy groove. In addition, some of the most talented DJs from around Australia will be performing on the night, along with our ever-fave dancers to keep you motivated. Mm. The tea dance starts around 5 p.m., but for more info, once again, head to the Midsummer website to get all your party info.
You'll get there one day, my love.
I will get there one day.
All right, so are you looking, because I know this is your first time to experience Midsummer. Have you heard about anything about Midsummer in particular?
Oh, look, if you're in Melbourne during January, that's all you hear about.
Yep.
Midsummer. Look, I'm really excited about it. There's so many things on. Mm-hmm. We have a calendar here in front of us right now.
Yes.
That tells us basically what's on and where. You can hear it flapping around. There it is. Oh, my goodness. You could plaster the bathroom walls with that. There is so much stuff going on. And as part of the Kiss My Arts show, we will endeavour to get along to and review as many of those shows as possible.
Yeah, totally. Have you had a look over the calendar yourself?
I have. I've studied it in depth. Ooh. I'm about to take the exam in the morning.
Awesome. So what are you looking forward to?
Well, look, can I be...
no, you can't be...
Can I be a little bit selfish, though?
Yeah, of course.
And can I talk about an event called Homophonic?
Sorry, what?
Homophonic.
Homophonic.
As in homo.
Oh, yeah.
Phonic.
Homophonic.
As in sound. So it's like gay sounds. Isn't that an amazing title?
Yeah, it is, actually. Homophonic. What's it all about?
Look, it's a concert that I just happened to be writing music for, which is very exciting.
Plug in yourself away, Annie Bassett.
I know. Shameless plug.
Shameless. Love it. Do it.
Oh, look. Mm. Look, if no one looks out for you, then... You've got to look out for yourself. Okay, so it's basically an evening of classical music by queer composers, spanning the centuries to bring you sapphic symphonists and homosexual harmonies is the little tagline that it uses. So it's basically a concert that involves the cream of the crop in Melbourne's classical musicians and features Melbourne's hottest composers, obviously, because I'm one of them. And we're, again, another shameless plug. Come on, it's an arts review show. We're going to bring the disco ball to the concert hall. Oh, yeah. And so exciting because, give me a break.
I'm actually a little bit scared, but that's okay. Yeah.
What about the disco ball in the concert hall? I think we could probably write a song about that. Maybe for next week. Save that. Stay tuned, people. Look, something exciting is happening to do with this concert because Miranda Hill, the mastermind behind this event, is actually coming into the studio next week to talk about Homophonic. So
I'm sorry.
Please stay tuned and tune in again next week.
Who said yes to that?
Uh-oh.
I wasn't aware.
Uh-oh. Hey, look, music's my thing, film's your thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you slide by on this one, Basto.
Yeah. All right there.
All right. So anything else? So that's next week, did you say?
That is happening next week. Miranda will be in the studio talking about Homophonic, one of the events in the Midsummer Festival.
All right.
Cool.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to?
What are you looking forward to? The redheads.
Blatant stereotyping there, Amy Besto.
Look, you've mentioned it twice.
I had to. I was reviewing a film that had
redheads
in there.
Oh, is that what you call it? Uh-huh. Mm.
No, I'm actually, and I'll be honest, let me just grab the calendar. I'm actually looking forward to the saloon speed dating that takes place on Wednesday the 1st of February.
Oh.
Yeah.
The saloon speed dating.
Yep.
Maybe we could somehow incorporate that into the show.
No.
Saloon speed radio.
Well, I think I'd fail. Look, no, the only reason I'm interested in that is because it's something that scares me. And
is that why you're interested in me?
Wow. Deluded is just one word I'm thinking of right now. No. I say I'm scared of it, and it's because I've never done anything like that. And I was like, when did these events happen?
Absolutely.
For gay and lesbians? So
in midsummer. Yeah, this is the time of year where it all happens.
Indeed.
And you've got to take that leap of faith and jump into those things that look scary, because they are sometimes and most often the best.
Indeed. Like I said, we're coming up to the end. We've got a little bit to go. Before that though, just go through to our sponsors. So we're nearly at the top of the hour there, my friends, which means the end to our first official show with Miss Amy Besto in the studio live. How was it?
It was amazing. It's so much fun in here. I wish everybody could be in here with us.
I think I'm just going to go and throw off a bit, actually.
Aww.
No, I'm joking. No, it's been great to have you. Before we go away, though, Amy, what are you going to go see this week? What are you going to go and review for us?
Two things this week. Mm-hmm. The first thing is actually on right now. But obviously I'm here. Beirut, the third of my top three albums. They're actually in Melbourne tonight, performing right now.
Wow.
So I have to leave the studio and like totally do my Superman bolt down to the event.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be reviewing that live concert.
Cool.
I'm talking about that next week.
Sounds exciting.
I'm also reviewing the latest Annie DeFranco album, which comes out on Thursday.
Exciting.
And it's called Which Side Are You On? That's pretty appropriate for Joy FM, isn't it? Yes. Side Are You On?
That's cool.
So I'll be reviewing Annie DeFranco's latest album, and so I'll be talking about those things next week.
Sounds great. This week, I will be obviously down at Midsummer on Sunday, helping out with Joy down there, and looking around, especially at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival stuff. I'm quite interested to see what's going to be on display. So if you see me down there, come and say hi. You have probably no idea what I look like, but just come and say hi anyway. Saturday, I'm heading down to Pran. You know what I'm talking about. To check out what's called the Marvel Street Art Battle. Okay? What this is two of Australia's top artists come together to bring Marvel art to life. Marvel as in the comics. You're looking at me with like a blank stare right now.
No, I was just asleep, sorry.
Okay. It's on at Edmonds Road, 2 to 5pm. And Marvel artist David Yarden will be there. And I am gonna geek out! Hardcore. And it also gives me a chance to just sit back and just kind of see what takes place. It's going to be quite exciting. Saturday night, I'll be going down to see a Melbourne-based band called Black Fox in Brunswick, and hopefully I'll get to score an interview with them. Fingers crossed on that one, though. Yeah. I'll also be checking out The Muppets, Hugo and The Descendants next week, so make sure to check in next week with all my reviews on those. As we head away, folks, be sure to tune in next week to hear Amy and I rant on. Till then, as always,
stay classy, Melbourne.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.